Well, the gospel today is a good example of, just a sort of word to the wise there. If you ever wonder what will happen if you try to outsmart Jesus, he's going to turn the tables on you. So I don't really recommend that, to tell you the truth. It's not going to end well for you, to tell you the truth. He's just, and this gospel today is one of those passages where Jesus does this. One of those really fun things. Yeah. He got him, It's a fun thing. The Pharisees are trying to entrap Jesus, getting him in trouble either with the religious position or with the Roman authorities or something like that. And he sort of sneaks between the two and turns the table on those so that the Pharisees look pretty foolish asking this question. It's kind of a question anyhow that you sort of think, really? Of all the things you have to ask Jesus about, it's like the census tax? That's what you want to ask him about? Right off the bat, you can see that the Pharisees' priority and their starting point is not one of faith in God. This is not a faithful question. This is not a question centered on the reality of God as the center of reality. It's a question that actually betrays a very sort of worldly outlook, to tell you the truth. And that's what Jesus really points out in this. He says, okay, this census tax, let me see the coin that you pay that with. And you use a Roman coin for that. The temple tax, you had to use a special coin that was for the temple tax. You couldn't use a secular coin. But the census tax, this secular tax, you could use the Roman coin for. Maybe you had to use the Roman coin for. And so Jesus asked him, said, well, on this coin, whose image is this? And they said, well, Caesar's. And so he says in this very, very pithy way, well, then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. The interesting thing about this is a beautiful reflection that many of the fathers of the church in praying and reflecting on this passage of Scripture says that was a very clever, witty, sharp way for Jesus to make this point about the coin. But it sort of begs a question, doesn't it? You hold up the coin and say, whose image is on this coin? Caesar's. Well, then render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But what about you and me? What about us? Whose image is this? Well, if we're coming from a position of faith, from what the book of Genesis tells us, this, point at yourself, everybody, point at yourself. This is the image and likeness of God. And therefore, render to God, repay to God what belongs to God. And you see, that's what the Pharisees weren't doing. They were not seeing themselves as belonging to God and really living with Him as Lord. That coin, that Roman coin, likely had on it in Greek, Caesar is Lord. That's what our hearts ought to have on them, is what we just said in the Kyrie. That the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord to us. And that we belong to Him. And that everything about everything that we do, from taxes to everything else, needs to be seen in that framework. This is not our home. We are on a pilgrimage through this world. And so we do not want to cling too tightly to anything in this world, to anything of this world, for sure. And you see, that's what the question of the Pharisees was all about. It was all very much about the things of this world, wasn't it? Rather than judging and making decisions about things in this world based on the world to come, which is our true home. Because we need to render to God what belongs to God, which is our very selves. And so it gives us a very different perspective. We see things from an eternal and a supernatural point of view. So that everything in this world and in the world to come for us ought to matter from the point of view of eternity. What will matter forever? What will matter in heaven? And there are two things that will. Our relationship with God and other human beings. Everything else is passing away. And therefore, everything else is not worth the time of day, actually, other than how it relates to our relationship with God and the way that we relate to other human beings for their eternal welfare. That's what God has given us the goods of this world for, is to use them for eternity. That is, to use them at the service of God and to use them for the good of other human beings. And any other use of the goods of this world is utter waste. And any other valuing of things in this world is foolishness. And so we need to be very, very careful not to fall into the trap of the Pharisees and to start judging eternal things by the standards of this world, which is something that happens a lot if we're not careful. It's one of the things, you know, we're in some one of those sort of repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar times right now. You know, seems that everybody's talking about the election these days, you know? And that is something of this world, right? That we've been taught by the church is a very important moral consideration for us. But it needs to be seen and judged in the light of eternity. I have to say, when I hear a lot of people talking about political things these days, even people maybe purportedly speaking from a religious point of view, I'm afraid sometimes what I'm hearing is something like the Pharisees. That the real concern is the political outcome. That's the real concern. Rather than the kingdom of God. And what is going to further and promote healthy relationship with God and human flourishing. It's one of the reasons why, for example, our bishops have told us that those issues that pertain to the sanctity and dignity of human life, which comes from our being made in the image and likeness of God, of having that image about us, are the preeminent issues when you come to voting. They're actually the preeminent issue about anything, to tell you the truth. Because without life, what is anything else, you know? And so we need to always make sure that we are living in this world as children of God, of heirs of the kingdom of heaven, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently, and that we see and judge everything in that way. What will further healthy relationship with God? Being able to love Him and to serve Him and to keep His commandments. And what will foster human flourishing as children of God? As beings who are made in the image and likeness of God. And so this is the way we need to look at everything in this world as those who need to repay to God what belongs to God, which is ourselves, our very lives, everything about ourselves. That's what we need to live for. Yesterday, the saint that we observed on the calendar, Saint Ignatius of Antioch, very interesting man. He's one of the immediate successors of the apostles. He was condemned to death in that very gruesome way that the Romans, one of the gruesome ways the Romans had of executing people. This was being thrown to the wild animals, and that's, you know, in front of a big crowd. And he was being taken from Antioch to Rome for this. And like St. Paul, he wrote letters to the churches as he went along. And he wrote a letter to the Roman church. And he said, please, don't do anything that would mess up my martyrdom. Don't try to intervene. I want to spend my life in witness to my discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do any finagling on my behalf. I want people to know that I have lived and that I die a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that that's what matters to me. Eternity and bearing witness to my relationship with God and in strengthening my brothers and sisters in Christ by that witness. And he did. He did die in that way. And we remember him to this day. As Christians, we should not fear death. You know, one thing that we all know, everybody in this room, we are all going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. And there's only one way that we know to go beyond that, and that is through our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died and rose again. Amen? Amen. And so we have no fear of death if we live with that eye to eternity. Now, it doesn't mean we have to go running around looking for it necessarily. It'll find you. Don't worry about that. But we have no fear. Everything about this life is only for a time. It is passing away, except for our relationship with God and the way that we have treated these other eternal beings around us, our other human beings around us, for their good, their eternal salvation. And so we live in that way. We live in that light. You know, a few weeks ago I was talking about, you know, I have some good news for you. In heaven, there will be no masks in heaven. Did you know that? You know? And that's why we can put up with it right here and now, because it's only for a time. I don't know how long of a time. Frankly, it's been longer of a time than I would have expected, but that time is still with us, and so we bear with it. But it's not a huge burden for us, you know? We know that if life in heaven will be without masks, okay? And so everything else that we bear with in this life is passing, like those masks, like the coronavirus itself. It will pass away. And so we live courageously, you know, dealing with the things we have to deal with. And that's how we need to make every decision in our lives, with that point of view of heaven, that we will live forever with God, that we are made in the image and likeness of God, that we've been held in the heart of God from all eternity, and will live with him forever for all eternity, according to his plan. According to his plan. And so we live our lives, from everything to paying taxes and voting to how you do your job and this and that, and you raise your family and everything else, remembering that we belong to him. And we repay to him our very selves who belong to him. And thanks be to God that we do.